Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got an interesting show today. Later, we'll be speaking with author and former NPR correspondent Eric Weiner about his new book, The Socrates Express, in search of life lessons from dead philosophers. But first, we're going to begin with a conversation about how COVID-19 continues affecting communities in different parts of Illinois. Statewide, the Department of Public Health is reporting more than 236,000 known cases, including at least 8,000 deaths. Last week's 7-day test positivity rate was 4.3%. But there are parts of the state that have seen significantly higher rates of infection in recent weeks. Joining us to talk about this are public health officials from different parts of Illinois. Steve Brandy is the spokesman for the Will County Health Department in the southern part of the Chicago region. County-level data, at least as it's reported by the State Department of Public Health, it's a lagging indicator. So we have numbers for the week leading up to August 22nd, and in that time, Will County had an 8.8% test positivity rate, 128 new cases per 100,000 of population. Dina Mosberger is spokeswoman for the Clay and Effingham County Health Departments. Effingham County, which is where Southern and Central Illinois meet, they have a 10% test positivity rate and 438 cases per 100,000. We're also joined by Gail O'Neill, Public Health Director of Sangamon County, home to the state capital of Springfield, with a 4.8% positivity rate, 84 cases per 100,000. And finally, Monica Hendrickson is Administrator of the Peoria City County Public Health Department, where they have a 6.5% positivity rate, 152 cases per 100,000. Thank you all for being here. I know we have a big panel today, but we wanted to sort of take a 30,000-foot view of the state of Illinois. Listeners, as ever, we want to invite you to join our conversation as well. The number is 800-222-9455. And number again, 800-222-9455. We want to know, what are you seeing with COVID-19 in your part of Illinois? Are people wearing masks? Are there scofflaw businesses? Do you think authorities are doing enough? Is the state doing enough about this? Join the conversation, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also always tweet us during the show at 21st Show. That's at 21ST Show. Steve, I want to start with you. Up in Will County, what are you seeing with COVID-19 up there?
Well, the most disappointing thing is the rate is going up as far as how many people have tested positive for coronavirus. Now, the good news is the deaths have slowed down immensely. We do have a total of 362 people who have lost their lives to coronavirus, and the large significant majority of those are in their 60s or older, and not as many of them are being affected. We might have some days where there are no new deaths due to COVID-19, or maybe one or two every few days. But the bad news is the overall number of cases has gone up, and it is especially among the younger people. Within age 20 to 29, that is now the largest percentage of the amount of coronavirus cases since this pandemic began, almost 20%. Yes, we've only had one death of a person in their 20s, but it is now the largest group of people that have coronavirus, and that is scary, and that just shows we need to put the brakes on and be careful. But there's been a lot of careless behavior really since things started to open up around July 4th, and we keep trying to tell people we have a long way to go.
And of course, the younger people getting infected, there's concern they bring it home to grandma and grandpa, and then deaths, of course, are a lagging indicator where that could come later. And I want to come back to you, Steve, in a couple of minutes to talk about the mitigation measures. Will County is one of the handful of places in Illinois that have now had these more severe restrictions put on by the state. But first, I want to go to Dina in Effingham and Clay counties. I mentioned it in the introduction a couple moments ago that I think the one of the highest positivity rates in the state in terms of, and especially in terms of the number of cases per 100,000 of population. So Dina Mosberger, what is going on in Effingham County in particular?
Well, that's accurate, and that's not really a label that we want placed on us. So we're fighting hard against that. But as of this morning, we do have a total over the period of 612 people in our community that have experienced this disease. I agree with Will County that what we've seen is an increase in the cases that are in amongst young people, and that's being caused by some careless behavior. I think folks are not adhering to the precautions for masking and for social distancing. See a lot of large gatherings occurring where those things are not in place. So that has resulted in higher numbers. We have not seen a lot of deaths in our location, but of concern to us is the increase in hospitalizations. We haven't had a lot of folks get real sick, but we are seeing an uptick in those cases.
And Gail O'Neill, what about in Sangamon County? I noticed that there are now 21 people in the hospital in Sangamon County. I don't remember the number being that high, even at the sort of the earlier peak of the outbreak back in April, May, in that time period. What are you seeing in Sangamon County?
Yeah, we're having similar problems. It sounds like everybody else is. And we were having hospitalizations that were only 4, 5, or 6 as a rule. And to suddenly jump to 20, 18, 19, 20 in last week is quite alarming. And the ages of the people in the hospital are from our residents are from, 50 to 90. So we're not sure why that happened. Maybe people are waiting longer. We don't really know why, but that is concerning for us for sure.
And what do you have a sense? Are there specific things that are driving the uptick in Sangamon County? Early on, we were hearing about a lot of clusters at nursing homes in different parts of the state. Is that still a problem, or many of them are very closely monitored now? Where are you seeing the cases come from, to the extent you know?
We are having another smaller outbreak in a long-term care facility, and that has. But even at that, that's only 3 of the hospitalized that we have is from that one. And our deaths, we've had 40. We had a early in this, we used to talk about our numbers earlier. We had a large nursing home, long-term care facility that had, a lot of sickness and death real early on. And we're hoping that we've learned from that and that those little outbreaks are not happening to that magnitude, although this one that we have now may be, but it's a smaller facility. It's difficult to see, and we're having the same breakdown of the people who are testing positive. We're seeing the younger people, high school age testing, and some of the children, the school age children, but it's not related to schools. It seems to be related to family members bringing it home and spreading it.
Interesting. And Monica Hendrickson, what about in Peoria? You're the one county health official whose county is not officially on warning status from the state of Illinois this week, although counties seem to come and go in there as their numbers fluctuate. What are you seeing in Peoria with COVID-19?
I think the similar trend across the state. We're seeing a large increase in that population under 29. And like my counterparts mentioned, it's not necessarily based on whether they're in the university setting of the classroom or in a classroom at a school. A lot of it is related to exposure outside, large gatherings, whether it's done by family members or activities that's, bringing those cases into the area. Overall, though, I would agree with what was said earlier is that after about 2 incubation periods, so 4 weeks after 4th of July, I think it was a little bit of a perfect storm. We had just eased up into phase 4. We had a 4th of July weekend. And so I think the energy created a rush of cases. And so for us, it was really 2 incubation cycles afterwards where we saw a lot of our case counts increase and where we did actually move into that measurement of being on the warning list. But since then, we're still feeling the residual effects of it. But now it's a lot more related to that younger population as schools come back online. But more importantly, their ability to socialize comes more back online.
Has Bradley University been a particular source of concern in Peoria?
I think all universities have been concerning in their communities. Bradley, compared to what we're seeing in the Bloomington area, is much smaller. And they have been doing surveillance-based testing throughout their school. But we are working with them. They are having cases. And again, the work being done within the confines of the university is well planned and well thought out. It's what's happening off campus that becomes the issue.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're checking in with public health officials from across Illinois. We just heard there from Monica Hendrickson, who's the public health administrator of the Peoria City County Health Department, Gail O'Neill in Sangamon County, Dina Mosberger in the Clay and Effingham County Health Departments, and Steve Brandy from Will County in the Chicagoland area. Listeners, you're always welcome to join us at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Nancy in Rockford, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for calling in. What are you seeing in your community?
Oh, yes. Actually, I'm in McChesney Park, which is a suburb of Rockford in, Winnebago County. I found this morning at Taco Bell, it was real interesting. I'm a regular customer, and they finally opened up the inside for Taco Bell, and I was real happy about that. For about a week ago, they opened up, and so you can go in and eat now inside Taco Bell. And I found out that through the manager, I walked in, and she knows me, and she's like, well, we're not that strict on masks.
Not that strict. Did you take the opportunity to express your view to her on that, or just sort of let it go? How do you react in that moment?
Well, it was. I love her. I just love the manager there. I just love that Taco Bell. She is fantastic. She's like, well, don't worry about it, because there was nobody in there but me. I was the only one in there at 8:35 this morning, and she's really cool. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. You don't need a mask right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't even know that Taco Bell was open for breakfast, but thank you so much for Nancy for calling in. And let me, I still am a little nervous about eating in at restaurants. That is not something I have done. I have done the sort of thing where you walk in and grab the bag and run out. And even there, I know it, at my beloved Chipotle, I see some employees, they have the masks on, but they're doing the sort of chin thing, or maybe it's over their mouth, but not their nose. Steve Brandy in Will County, can you talk about, you are, I think, the only, represent the only county on our panel today where you've had these sort of additional mitigation measures put in. What are those restrictions, and what's driving that?
Well, with all due respect, that's a big mistake to have that attitude of being inside a restaurant and not that strict on masks. We need to not only be strict on masks, but wear them properly over our mouths, over our noses, so they do what they are supposed to do. When you talk about mitigation, when the governor had his press conference a week ago yesterday here at our new Will County Health Department building, that was after the new mitigations were announced for our region, which is Region 7, Will County and Kankakee County combined. A lot of people wondered, why did they close indoor service at restaurants and bars when they didn't down in Region 4, which is the Metro East area around St. Louis? And that question has been answered many times. I will answer it again. When they put the mitigation efforts on the Metro East area, they did not include stopping indoor service. And lo and behold, the numbers did not improve. So when it came up to Region 7 where we are, and they needed to roll back, not all the way to stage 3, but roll back something, they went to the next stage, which is close indoor service at restaurants and bars. It made sense, because if you do it the same way that you did in the Metro East area and it didn't work, why would it work up here? And the attitude of, oh, I don't need a mask, oh, I'm not going to be affected. We all have this, it's not going to happen to me. It's not just young people. All of us have that human nature tendency to think it's not going to happen to me. And that is what is hurting us. The masks need to be worn. And yes, there's some people here upset about that they closed indoor service, but again, it was explained. And if everybody would just wear their masks when they should, observe social distancing when they should, just maybe the numbers could get better and we could go back to a full stage 4. But I'm telling you, for every person who calls us and reports somebody not wearing a mask when they should, they'll call our COVID-19 hotline. We have others that comment on our social media, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do this? The attitude of the public is so important. And I'm going to talk about role modeling. It comes to the people that young people look up to, all right, by role models. I'm talking parents. I'm talking teachers. I'm talking officers of the law, and I'm talking elected officials. If those four groups would observe everything they're supposed to do, wearing the mask properly, observing social distancing, understanding what we're up against, that would have such an impact on everybody. But when the role models, again, the parents, the teachers, the elected officials, and the officers of the law, if they have a laissez-faire attitude, then guess who else is going to? All of the public. And we had a situation here about a month ago where parents did something very careless, organized something across the line in Indiana, and guess what? People got sick. You might have heard about that in the national news. Everybody needs to set the role and set an example.
Yeah, we need to take a quick break. I want to continue this conversation with various local public health officials from across Illinois. Please stay with us. Our phone lines are still open, 800-222-9455. What are you seeing in your area? Are people masking? Do you find resistance to that? Does that disturb you? It should. The number again, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. More 21st after a moment. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with public health officials from across Illinois. Before the break, we were hearing from Steve Brandy of the Will County Health Department. We're also talking to Gail O'Neill from Sangamon County, Monica Hendrickson, the public health administrator in Peoria City County Health, the Peoria City County Health Department, and Dina Mosberger with the Clay and Effingham County Health Department. And Dina, I want to ask you, I was struck earlier this week, we had a number of student journalists on from different parts of the state, including one from Eastern Illinois University. Now, I know Charleston is not in Effingham, it's Coles County, not Effingham County, but they're in a similar region of the state, kind of the sort of central Illinois, east central Illinois there. And she, I was struck by something she said. I asked if community members were concerned about the students and COVID-19. And her view was that there was less concern even among members of the community, just in general. And I wonder, what do you see? We heard Steve from Will County before the break talking about, you know, people adults not setting the right tone for younger people. What do you see from people in your county? Are people taking masking seriously, or is that something where people still need to step up more on that?
It is an area where we would like people to step up a little bit more. We are seeing some change in attitude just over the last few weeks. I think with your help, with the help of the Wall Street Journal, has given us some attention. As well as other places, because the high positivity rate in Effingham County is alarming, and afraid that it will be a trend amongst rural counties everywhere. I think that is what it's going to take to turn the tide for us, is a change in our way of thinking and acting. People have not generally been concerned. Hadn't been seeing a lot of sickness or a lot of hospitalizations or death. But when we take that laissez-faire attitude about, well, I'll wear it today, or I forgot it in my car, and maybe today, but not tomorrow, that's when we let our guard down and the coronavirus takes its action against us. And then our cases increase and it spreads so rapidly. It's not something we can see. And so it's difficult for people to wrap their minds around it, that it is everywhere. But yeah, we're seeing exactly, I think the gal from Eastern is right. People have not voiced a lot of concerns, but it is changing.
Yeah, I hope so. We have another caller on the line, Michael in Moultrie County. Welcome to the 21st. Go ahead. What are you seeing in Moultrie County?
Yeah, I mean, I've been around I just left Effingham County. And even in Moultrie, I disagree with the last comment. I don't think anybody's actually on board. I don't feel like anybody's changing. It's a struggle every day when my wife works at a CVS and, you know, 50% of the people still walk in with no masks on. You know, we ask for change on a daily basis, but it's not been seen.
All right, Michael, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. And you know, Gail O'Neill in Sangamon County, let me ask you, do you feel you have the enforcement tools necessary when you, I imagine you're getting reports of people complaining about businesses that are not complying? What does that look like? How does that work in Sangamon County?
In Sangamon County, we do get a lot of complaints. We had instituted the a plan that held the business owners of bars and restaurants responsible for maintaining the distancing in their facilities and for making sure that their employees wear masks. We passed a couple ordinances that would ultimately start with some fines and could impact their food or liquor license if they failed to cooperate. The process we started right away, then there's some challenges with the legality of doing that. And then the governor came out with a masking rule with some supportive, enforcement abilities. It's still a challenge. I think overall the majority of our food and bar owners try. I should say majority. We were seeing that initially, but then now all you got to do is walk at Facebook and you see how much all of our efforts are failing when they continue to post pictures with people in places without masks on. It is extremely frustrating, but we do have the ability to impact their food license. It takes a while, a warning, and then several levels of fines, and we haven't been to a hearing yet to hear how that's going to go with the courts. But it just is, we really would like our businesses to be able to stay open. And it's unfortunate that the ones that are trying hard and doing the mitigation efforts will probably be penalized by the ones, because of the ones that won't.
If the state has to impose, or the county has to impose more broad restrictions. Yeah.
Correct.
Monica Hendrickson, I want to ask you in Peoria, something we've, I wonder as a result of the pandemic about, domino effects you might be seeing in public health that are not necessarily coronavirus disease itself. We have heard about, there's been a lot of attention in recent years to what are known as deaths of despair, drug abuse, suicide. Is this something, with people, so many people out of work, with businesses failing, is this something that you are seeing? Are you seeing any other sort of knock-on effects? I imagine a bright side, people are not going out and interacting as much. Maybe, sexually transmitted infections are lower than they might otherwise be. What other sort of effects are you seeing as a result of the pandemic?
So our area here in Peoria, as well as our Tri-County, which includes Tazewell and Woodford, we work in coordination around a joint community health improvement plan. It's our partnership for a healthy community. And one of the health priorities has always been mental health and substance use. And so we've continuously monitored this prior to COVID and through COVID. And in fact, our coroner and one of our large mental health providers, Unity Place, has been looking at the data and recognize the fact that, we are seeing these surges of, whether it's suicidality, overdoses, all of those playing into a role. Likewise, the health department actually has a MAT clinic or a medication-assisted treatment for a Suboxone clinic. And during the shelter in place and then subsequently, we lost a lot of our patients based on follow-up. And so we're very well aware of how COVID is not just a respiratory disease, but the impacts on socioeconomics and impacts on other illnesses is huge. Likewise, early on, we did a lot of marketing and media about when to call 911, really directed about COVID, as well as, we saw what was going on in New York, hospital systems in California. And so we even had individuals that were in cardiac arrest that weren't getting care because they were fearful of going into COVID hospitals or being transported. And so, we're going to see impacts of COVID far greater than just the health of an individual that tested positive. But I think all the peripheral aspects, whether it's homelessness, food security, all of that's going to continue to play a role here. And we won't fully understand it for a few more years.
Yeah. Well, that is something we'll certainly keep an eye on. We have one more caller on the line before we wrap this segment. Marianne in Urbana, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate the show very much. I just called to make a note that when I live in Urbana and I drive through Champaign for running the errands, and as I pass through or by parks, I see kids that appear to be in high school or middle school with coaches practicing tennis with no masks on. They're in groups of 5 to 10, not practicing social distancing at all. I see teams of basketball players in the parks, again, 5 or 6 men, young men per team, no masks. And I wonder, you know, did they understand that they are not only putting themselves at risk, but they may, if they go work at a store that I might be coming into, or where I need to pick something up at a Taco Bell, as I heard earlier, that they might be the one handing it to me, that they're putting me at risk by behaving that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I do wonder about that myself, you know, going to businesses when you it's jarring now. And I mean, it's jarring to run into someone who doesn't have a mask on when they're handing you even your takeout order. Steve, Randy, and Will County, I guess I just want to wrap with you. I mean, what is your message to young people? You know, people want to get out there in the world. They want to, you know, play sports. They want to see other people, you know, and we need to wrap this conversation here. But you know, final thoughts, if you could say one thing to them about what they need to be doing.
I would just say, please understand, this is a very unique and dangerous time. I mean, none of us have lived through this before. And as it was just explained, we are still learning. The best example I heard somebody saying, we are literally building an airplane as we fly it. And this is no time to be cocky and no time to be selfish. Mask wearing, social distancing, it could not just save your life, but your father's life, your grandmother's life. We need a team approach. No matter what age we are, we all need to understand this is a team effort.
Steve Brandy is with the Will County Health Department. We've also been speaking with Dina Mosberger from the Clay and Effingham County Health Departments, Gail O'Neill, Director of the Sangamon County Public Health, and Monica Hendrickson with the Peoria City County Health Department, the administrator there. Thank you all so much for being with us today. And listeners, wear your masks. Do your part.